Hello, I'm Aaron Anastas. I'm a junior here, majoring in journalism and anthropology.
I am Diamond Store Hutton, majoring in journalism and minoring in communications.
Hi, my name is Kennedy Caldwell, and I'm also majoring in journalism.
And we are the 2024 through 2025 Roger Ebert Fellows at the university.
All in all, August 22nd, 1972 was a summer day just like any other summer day. Hot, humid, close, with everyone trying to get a bit of relief from the oppressive heat and humidity. And then it happened.
Nobody move! Get over there! All right, get away from those alarms. He moves, take his head off. We're gonna get this thing done in half an hour.
Those are some scenes stitched together from the 1975 film Dog Day Afternoon, the Sidney Lumet film starring Al Pacino that will be screened Thursday at 7 o'clock this week at the Spurlock Center under the Ebert Center auspices. I'm Michael Phillips, the film critic of the Chicago Tribune and the advisor of the U of I College of Media Roger Ebert Fellowship. And we're going to talk today a little bit about Dog Day Afternoon, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. There's a lot to wrestle with in this film. It's just a simple story based on a true story of one of the most inept bank robberies ever attempted in New York or anywhere. And the film was, because Pacino was a really big star at the time, among other reasons, the film was an enormous hit. It made the equivalent of $300 million in its day, which is a monster hit.
Get back there! What are you doing? Look at him with him! Get over there! Go back there, man! Get over there! Will you?
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it!
Oh, God, I was going to kill
him! Erica! Erica!
Will you?
Erica! 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 Erica!
And it turns into a hostage situation and then sort of a media circus, and the whole thing takes place over about 4 or 5 hours, and it gets into all kinds of issues about the sort of the social climate of New York at the time in the mid-70s and everything else. Diamond, you did a little research on the true story behind Dog Day Afternoon. What did you find out?
Yes, the bank robbery actually took place in 1972. It's based on the Life magazine article, which was written while it was actually happening. So that was fascinating to know about, because it was actually written while it was going on. And also, mostly the movie is 70% true, because, you know, mostly they change character names and all that stuff, but... Also, when Sonny was trying to rout up the crowd and saying "Attica, Attica, Attica," that is mostly improvised. That wasn't in the script. That wasn't, you know, part of the plan. So that was for protesting against injustice in the New York City.
Yeah, and this was Brooklyn, New York, in '75. I mean, right after the Attica prison riots, not that long afterwards, anyway. And that's not the only improv in this film, is that right, Aaron?
And no, it wasn't the only improv. The Attica was very pertinent to the time, very volatile political climate at the time, which really got seized on by director Sidney Lumet. It was kind of the perfect little microcosm for Lumet to kind of pick up, because in his filmography, through most of his movies, he likes to weave social commentary. And I can't speak to be an expert on his filmography. I've only seen three of his films, but I would say out of the three, the other ones being 12 Angry Men and Network, the social commentary really hit me the hardest here. Doing a little says a lot. Like, and also back in 73, 2 years earlier, he did another film with a different kind of social commentary with Pacino. So this was their second collaboration together. As Pacino's kind of rising through fame. But this was really the perfect kind of film for Lumet to take up.
And you guys, as first-time viewers, enjoyed it, Diamond, would you say?
I really liked it. I didn't know anything about it, so I just went in watching the movie blindly. So it was great. And this is my first Al Pacino movie.
All
because
right.
I never watched Godfather. It's like, it's not for me. But okay. It was a good movie to introduce me to the actor.
Okay, good. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people think it's his best performance. I don't know how you feel about that.
I definitely think it's a fantastic performance. I mean, it's Pacino. I've never seen him phone it in before. But definitely this felt like the most kind of, vulnerable performance that I've seen him. Like, going from, like, if you look at his first acclaimed performance in The Godfather, it's definitely a lot more reserved, more almost sociopathic. But here, he's very vulnerable, open emotionally.
So, and also bugging out half the time. It's a very big performance.
Very sweaty, very big performance.
We'll mention one other improv moment where I read that John Cazale, when Sonny asks him, okay, we got a plane, we're gonna get out of this country. You can go to any country you want to. And then he comes up with an answer that surprised Pacino. Here's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I want to talk to you. I'm coming out.
Good, good, okay, we'll be there. Let's go, come on, it's coming up.
Now, you got to understand something. If we leave the country, there's no coming back here. You know what I mean? There's no coming back. So that if there's anybody now that you want to talk to, you want to say goodbye to, do it now. Is there any special country you want to go to?
Wyoming.
No, Wyoming. That's not a country. That's all right. I'm going to take care of it.
That was Al Pacino and John Cazale in Dog Day Afternoon. Kennedy, that's an example of how this film, Dog Day Afternoon, is a lot funnier than I remember. I haven't seen it for a while. It's got a peculiar, kind of very sly sense of humor in that, just these weird moments of exasperation going on in the middle of a totally mediocre bank robbery. I mean, just a bank robbery that is not going to work out ultimately. But tell me how that sort of stuff hits you, and also how Sonny, the Pacino character, kind of has to play the inside of the bank for one sort of like set of problems to solve, and then sort of deal with the street crowd. This sort of mob on the street, you know, to kind of keep them on his side as well.
Yeah, no, for one, I thought it was very funny because one thing you notice with these type of characters is that they use comedy to kind of cope with their pain and what they're going through. Like when Sonny's interacting with the cops, obviously it's a really intense situation. And instead of taking it seriously and trying, you know, be cool, he's like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him. So it's very like, you know, how are you trying to deal with these type of situations? And when he's dealing with like, you know, with the crowd and everything like that, and also trying to keep face with the mob, it kind of shows like, I don't know, it kind of shows, I wouldn't necessarily say like a character flaw, but kind of like how maybe like a personality flaw of trying to, what would you call that?
Perform kind of?
Have a facade or like a persona to maintain within like kind of like a John Gotti type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the thing about Sonny, I think, that struck me the most. I'd love to hear what you guys think, that he's a sad sack in a lot of ways, this poor guy. He's sort of beleaguered at home. He's got a completely weird, a difficult double life he's leading. He gets into the bank robbery situation, and everybody in the bank is actually bossing him around and kind of criticizing the way he's trying to pull off this bank robbery. And he can't, you know, he's kind of, but when he sees the crowd, he's like, you know, there's occasional signs where it's like, we love you, Sonny. So it's like, hey, I'm a winner. And then he goes back into the bank and he's a loser again. So it's like, he's not really getting any relief from his real life, even in the most, you know, heightened moment of his life. But that's, to me, that's kind of what sort of is behind a little bit of what Pacino's up to and having such a good time with. You
know? Yeah, he's really taking the reins on that. I think within the realm of the screenplay, I think it really was almost necessary to start off. Maybe the first 30 minutes are kind of almost a straight comedy. You can interpret it as that. But because it does a really good job of endearing him to the audience, not going full force drama, crime kind of thriller right off the bat. But it's good to work our way into kind of his psyche slowly as the movie goes on. What did you notice about the comedy, Diamond?
I really didn't notice it when I first watched it. I had to keep watching it in order to notice, because I didn't notice when the first time I watched it, what the quote that you said. But when I watched it like, again, I was like, okay, this is actually, it's low-key funny.
Well, low-key funny is absolutely right, right? Because it's like, it's not underlined.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize there's no musical score to help you figure out the mood. It's more like it's just sort of happening like it's happening, which I like. I like that about it. But, that to me, that's why it sort of feels like, it doesn't feel like, to me, like an old relic, 50-year-old movie from another time so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But on the other hand, Kennedy, you were saying off mic, just about like if this movie dealt with kind of a media circus, you know, covering a bank robbery in real time in 2025, different story.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like because today I feel like, you know, when times are hard, people go to social media to kind of, you know, unwind and take out their real true feelings. So I feel like with everything going on, the only way you can really express yourself is with your profile. So I feel like the news, when you'll see everything on the news and then you'll go to the comments and it's the most outrageous things. And now that we have TikTok, it was so funny when I was looking at this because I feel like how, like, I don't know if you guys saw like how Fox News was using TikTok edits of people like glorifying Luigi Maggiore. So they were like trying to like glorify him, and it was kind of funny because it's like, why would you use that to show like what's going on? So it kind of shows kind of like how serious social media is, but how like serious media, I guess, is still trying to be. So I feel like it would be really interesting to see kind of how the mob would be on the internet versus like shown on the news, you know?
And this is the era, the film Dog Day Afternoon is dealing with the era of three TV stations and that's all.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you can hear more from the Ebert Fellows when they introduce the screening at the Spurlock Center this Thursday, part of the Ebert Center series of films. And I'd like to thank you all for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having us,
Michael. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.